such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome, and a Merry Christmas again.
Merry Christmas.
It seems so odd saying Merry Christmas in this radically secularized culture in which we live, because outside everywhere, except, you know, there are some lights that are still on, but you can see that everybody's already
passed on.
Yes. Exactly.
The next one. What are we waiting for?
See, in the old days, in my day, actually wasn't even in my day because it predates me, but that was the Christmas began. Well, it still does.
Sure.
From a liturgical point of view, Christmas. We're in the Christmas season. We're coming to the end of the 12 days, the Epiphany, the Feast of the Epiphany. The manifestation is on Sunday, and that's the 12th day of Christmas. But in the back before things changed in the society, people were in the Christmas spirit. That's the thing. They were really in the Christmas spirit. From Christmas Day, there was this very joyful, just as much as there is right now. We have that that sense of preparation through Advent, you know, for Christmas. And there's something in the air, and, you know, we just went through that.
Yes.
But when it would come, because many people wouldn't, they would only decorate the Christmas tree Christmas Eve.
Yes.
You know, because that was the beginning of the Christmas season. And then the celebration would continue to the Epiphany, but the season itself in the old calendar would go all the way to the Feast of the Presentation, which is February the 2nd.
That's what I still follow. You
keep
that.
Sure, and that's good. And it was during that time, you know, in Poland at least. I don't know about in the Latin American countries. I'm not sure.
Well, they do what they call the baby Jesus, the Feast of the Presentation. You know, I don't know. They bring the baby.
Well,
Jesus.
Well, no, they do
this.
Exactly. Yeah, because I was there for that.
Yes.
I saw. In fact, that was very, very impressive, because I was at the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe for the Feast of the Presentation.
Okay.
And the Indians, the people came. They came from all over. Yes. But I was really impressed with the Indians, the indigenous people,
sure,
because they were in their native dress. And they came dancing and singing to the basilica, and many people were crawling on their knees, and of course they brought the image of the Christ Child for the blessing. It was also the Day of the Light, you know, the candle mass. And so it was really when they would bless the candles.
Yes.
We still do that.
They still do that.
By the way, remind me, so we should really emphasize that this year. Because we do get out of the practice of, you know, just really to emphasize the importance of that feast. But so from Christmas up into to the presentation, certainly you get the 12 days of Christmas, and then and for instance, again in the Latin American culture, Christmas was when the family gathered together, and of course it was a mass and all. It was a big day.
Yes.
But the gift giving day would be the Feast of the Epiphany. Because that's when emulating the Magi or the three queens. I guess today would be the queens, right?
Right.
The three kings
so
who
funny.
Brought the, I'm thinking of the Queen Mother, right?
Right.
The Holy Mother of God.
Okay. Sorry, I thought of something
so,
else.
So did I.
No, no, I know. When I said it, it sounded like
so
it.
So you got to be careful today.
Yeah. No, but that's just funny.
See how
you know?
See what the culture does to the the psyche?
That's
of,
the world that we live in today.
That's really exactly what we were talking about yesterday. That's what it is now.
Sure.
No, it's not even funny anymore. It's just that's how it's melding.
The way it is, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's a strange thing. You know, this is on the side, but I was thinking about this the other day because I was addressing a card. Mm-hmm. My family lives on Gay Avenue. You know, when we were kids, I mean, of course, that was you
was
know,
it, an issue?
Manhattan,
it was
right?
It was to signify that this was a happy neighborhood. Yeah. You know, we were a gay neighborhood, a happy neighborhood.
So everybody was gay on that street.
Yes, at the time, yes,
everybody happy.
But so I'm thinking today, you know, a whole new generation must get have a whole nother. You know, sense that,
so then they have to change the street name to Happy. Then,
like this is the gay community of right. of Florida. You know, is that funny how
yeah,
things change?
Yeah, when I first started working here and I saw the street, I thought.
Did you think that? Yeah.
Not of Happy, the other.
Yeah, no, I know.
That's right.
Well, today people would.
Yeah.
They would, but anyway. So when the kings, the magi, the wise men, brought the gifts, so that was the in many cultures,
yes.
Because the Catholic Church is universal. It's right. It's a, and in fact the Feast of the Epiphany is really a powerful symbol of. There's a lot of things about the destiny of the child born in Bethlehem of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Christ, the Messiah. He was destined, again, just keep in mind, he was born in the city of Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, mm-hmm. To signify something about his identity, that as wheat is crushed, it become bread, that he was destined to be crushed like wheat, that he'd become bread for the journey. He would feed us on his own body, blood, mm-hmm. soul, and divinity. The fact that they come from the east, mm-hmm. The magi, well, before we go there, the proclamation of heaven, the angels, midnight or during the night, that the Messiah has been born. The news came from heaven. It was a proclamation of the angels. To whom? But to the humble, to the shepherds, to those who were disposed, those who were open, those who were receptive to the message, and they were the first to behold the Christ, the Messiah. And so the first to put their eyes on God in the flesh. The magi, the kings, the wise men. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. The difference between magi, wise men, king, but they bring the gifts because Epiphany is means manifestation. Again, this is to identify who this child is and something about the child. This is the Son of God, the incarnate Word, the Word made flesh. Born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and God entrusting himself to the care of the Blessed Virgin who would form his life, basically mm-hmm. prepare him for his mission, which would be, and again, it's his mission, it's all about from the crib to the cross to Calvary, where he would lay down his life and in atonement for our sins. He would offer himself in expiation for our sins. The other thing is and of course, born in Bethlehem in the city of David in fulfillment of the prophecy that he's in the lineage of David. Mm. So it's that connection to the people of the covenant from this people, from this nation, the Messiah would come. But he was destined to move beyond. Not only that he would move beyond because he's God of all creation, God of all people, but that the nation now, their mission would... was destined to embrace or envelop all the nations. We would say to Catholicize, which means universal. And so the symbol of the kings, or the magi, the wise men coming from the east. All this is prefigured in the Hebrew scripture. You know, it's all part of the preparation. It signifies that he is not only the God of the Jews, of the Israelites, but that he, in fact, is the Messiah. This is now the Messianic age, and God is revealing himself to the whole of God's creation, to the whole of God, to all of humanity. And so they represent the Gentiles, the non-Jews, those who are not part of the covenant but will eventually be brought into this new covenant that would be Catholic, mm-hmm. universal. That's what Catholic means, universal. So, and then and of course the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so this is why in many cultures gift giving happens on the Feast of the Epiphany, on the 12th day of Christmas, emulating the kings who bring the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And even those gifts tell us something about the child born of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Bethlehem, that he is, it identifies his threefold office, that he is a king. The gold represents his kingship. The incense, his priesthood. He's the supreme high priest, the priest of all priests, the only real priest. All other priesthood prior to and after, by virtue of baptism, all of us share in this threefold office of Christ. All of us share in the kingship, the priestly office of Christ. So the incense is the symbol of the priest who intercedes, who offers and intercedes on behalf of the people. We are people who intercede. We pray. We live our lives in a way of intercessory prayer, right? To pray constantly, unceasingly means that we're in the spirit of prayer, so that our lives reflect the intimacy we have with God, or the relationship we have with God, that is to be manifested in our lives in this sacrificial love that is for the purpose of others, to carry others through and to participate in each other's sanctification and salvation. So intercessory priesthood intercedes on behalf of the people. And then, of course, the ministerial priest. I'm a ministerial priest. My priesthood is in the priesthood of Christ Jesus in the order of Melchizedek. But there's only one priest, and that is the supreme high priest, and that's Jesus Christ. And so we share in his priesthood, or in persona Christi, the priest, and at the altar, it's Jesus Christ offering. The high priest offers himself as the Lamb of God, mm-hmm. and the priest is the Jesus is acting in and through the person of the priest. And of course, the whole sacred assembly participates in that offering. They're offering their lives as well. So that's the two of the offices, right? The third office is the gift of myrrh, which is the oil used for the anointing of the sick, or the dead. It mm-hmm. anoints the body of the dead. And what is that a symbol of but the prophetic office of Jesus? Because prophets are often not accepted. Their message is often scorned. They're not accepted, and oftentimes could lead, as it did in the case of many prophets, and certainly in the case of Jesus, it led to his death. But it was the death that he came to undergo, offering his life in atonement for our sins. The prophetic office, because he exposes what's in the hearts of men, in the mind of men and women. To be I shouldn't say politically correct, but today I guess you have to say for some people, men and women, mm-hmm. To all people. So it's he's the conscience of the people, and part of the reason for the crucifixion was people's consciences were awakened. They were bothered because he reveals to them what's inside them, the truth of who they should be, what they should do. In contrast to what they've become or what they're doing that is contrary to the their true image is created in the image and likeness of God. And so people don't want to change. And so, you know, get him out of our face. Let's get rid of him, silence him, so that we're not bothered. And we can just be freely go about and do as we please. And but in doing that, they release the spirit. And so the body of Christ, the mystical body, the family of God, by virtue of baptism, shares in that threefold, those threefold offices. Mm-hmm. So we're a kingly people. So we have a dignity, the dignity of being in the kingdom of God. We share in the kingship of Christ. We share in the priesthood of Christ. We share in the prophetic office of Christ. And I think these are things we need to reflect on and speak more about that. But anyway, so those gifts are there to identify. So Epiphany is manifestation or identification of who this is God who has come to us now in the flesh. Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And guided by the star, the light.
The star of David.
The light to the light, you know, to the true light. The I am the light. The light. The light came into the darkness. People chose rather to stay in the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. God sent his only begotten Son not to condemn but to save. But if we choose the darkness, if we choose away from God, then, you know, it's to our own condemnation. And and again, this is where God is our conscience, you know. And the church sharing in that mission becomes then a thorn in the side or the conscience of the people. That's why people so often like to focus on the scoundrels or the deviants or the sinful, and that's all of us, but, you know, focus on that because it justifies their behavior that is contrary to their true nature is created in the image and likeness of God, and it appeases their own conscience to freely go about and do what they want, what they please. People, the bottom line is people, and this is the problem in the society, we don't want to, it goes back to creation, right? Mm-hmm. We will not serve. We will not serve God. And yet our service rendered to God is life-giving, and it's about freedom and peace, and it's about our salvation. So we're very egocentric, and we are free, otherwise it wouldn't be love. But, you know, but God came to take love to the extreme, to show us, you know, this is how much I love you. Because anything else apart from God will eventually either enslave us,
yeah,
rob us of peace, or the illusion will eventually dissipate, you know, because, you know, you can't, and I go back to the thing of youth, you know, we think we can be young forever, but the fact is, the scourge of life is that we get old. I mean, there's a wisdom that comes with that, I hope.
Sure.
If we're living in God, the fountain of youth is the Spirit of God. You don't remember when we used to, when we would study Ponce de León?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Youth, yeah.
The fountain of youth.
St. Augustine, I think, or San Agustin, whatever, however you want to pronounce it, that little city in Florida was, didn't he think there that he found the fountain of youth?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But the fountain of youth is really the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
That even as a body gets old and deteriorates, if we remain in the Lord, we become younger.
Yeah, the Spirit becomes younger.
Yeah. So anyway, we got to take a break. We'll take a break, and we will be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We are honored to have Bishop Joseph Perry guest host Winds of Change this Thursday, February 1st at noon on AM 750 WNDZ. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every person in the world is actually Catholic. I am Father Thomas J. Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Catholic is really about the invisible made visible through the physical. Nowhere is this more true than in our human bodies. Pope John Paul II said that the body and it alone makes visible what is invisible. But so can bread or wine make visible what is invisible. So can water, oil, a candle, an icon, or incense. Furthermore, so does a birthday cake, a flag, or a Christmas tree. Physical things enable us to touch invisible realities. Catholics do not have to convert anyone. All we have to do is remind everyone that they have been Catholic all along, simply by the fact that everyone has a physical body. And the theology of that body makes an invisible God visible. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And guess what?
What?
So I've been saying this all week.
It's that time
we
of
go.
The year.
We're going to do the catechesis today. You
I
know?
Was going to bring it up on my phone, and I thought we were going to forget about it.
I'm not going to let myself, because it's kind of fun. You know,
right. It is.
We do it every year. But
it shows how much we know.
Exactly. You
yeah,
know,
how much we don't know.
Exactly.
I just can't remember the 5 and 6.
So, you know, this,
I got you covered.
Because we're in the 12th, because we're almost done. The Christmas, the 12th day is the Epiphany. Mm-hmm. Anything you want to know about the Epiphany, anything else? Or have I covered that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think so.
Get right down to it, because
okay.
I want a good
but,
yeah.
Just one thing about the three kings.
Yes.
It's interesting how they represent the different people, the diversity. Mm-hmm. Like one is
good
from...
One.
Diversity, that's a big... We're all into diversity,
yeah, diversity
these days.
We're like the different cultures or mm-hmm. ethnic groups. One is, I think, was... Why you know how?
Can you imagine how they would read that? How they would rewrite that story today?
Oh gosh, it would be a disaster.
There would definitely be a queen in there.
You know,
the three of them.
There's no doubt that racism is sad to say. Uh-huh. It's always been, and it is, to certain degrees. But the fact that we had come so far, it seems to me, mm-hmm. and in just a matter of a short few years,
it's changed.
We seem to be back where we were in the 1960s. But you wouldn't remember that, Christina. I remember that very well, and I don't. I think it's anyway. It's that's unfortunate because mm-hmm. I really believe that it's being stoked.
Is yes. That, you know? I should have said races.
That's
like
for
different races.
For a different show.
What's up with that?
With the three kings, the representation.
Different
of
races.
Races.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Races. I was just thinking about how today.
You were saying diversity. Yeah. Well, they always use
certain words I just don't like anymore.
Yeah.
I don't like the word community.
Yep.
Yes.
I don't
diversity.
Like the word diversity.
Yeah.
I don't like the word social justice. You know, I believe in all of those.
Throw a meeting in there too.
But it's how they've got. What's it?
Meeting.
Oh, meetings.
I don't
meetings.
Like that
meetings. It's
no,
the devil's tool. But all those things, diversity, community. What was the other one?
Diversity, community.
You guys are really paying
diversity,
attention.
The social justice.
Social justice. Yeah.
It's all important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All important. It's just that it gets so distorted
yes.
and so perverted and so
sure.
one-sided, and it becomes, rather than a source of unification, it becomes the cause for division.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. These good things, community, diversity, social justice, have become causes for division
mm-hmm.
because of the way people have, even in the church, have used it for their own political purposes or for the propagation of their own agenda, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so we'll leave it at that. Let's do the catechesis. So that this comes from the song. We do this every year. I like it because it gives me a fresher. I mean, mm-hmm. it helps me to. Because I don't know that I would answer all these right, you know?
Right.
I would hope I would, but, you know, and I'm not worried about it because I've got all the answers right here. Right.
Yeah, so. It's just us over here on the other side.
Exactly.
12 Days of Christmas.
The 12 Days of Christmas is the song, that long song. Sometimes I used to hate it when, you know, to be honest, when I was a kid, we used to sing that song. I didn't like it because it was too long.
I always forgot, like, okay, what, 5, 4, 3?
Exactly, yeah. And I didn't know, of course, as I was growing up, I never knew anything about the meaning of the song was.
You just thought of what they were singing, the lyrics.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So it's the 12 Days of Christmas. And the song comes from, just to refresh your memories, or I'm certain we have, hopefully we haven't lost our listeners from last year, and we have new listeners, but it actually comes from a time of persecution. Mm-hmm. In the 16th century in Great Britain, of all places, where Catholicism was basically outlawed, and the and Christians, Catholics were martyred. Mm-hmm. And so the church had to kind of go underground. Mm-hmm. And the Jesuits, who were at that time the great defenders mm-hmm. of Orthodox Christianity, of the faith, they were the Pope's army, so to speak. Mm. And they, this is what, as I read this, they created this this song that was coded with, mm-hmm. it was cryptic, I guess, mm-hmm. cryptic, yeah, cryptic, coded, like apocalyptic literature of scripture, using these obscure symbols to hide the true meaning from the enemy in times of persecution, so that the Catholics, when they would sing this song, they it was a coded, cryptic language, symbolic language that would convey to them the deeper meaning, or, you know, it's a very basic catechesis, in a sense. It's a teaching of the faith. So the song, everybody knows the song. It's a very long song because you have to repeat every one, right? That's what mm-hmm. that's what made it go so long. If they could just do the
just
12,
it
would be fine. But so on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Now, first of all, who is the true love?
It's God.
God, the Father. The Father. God, the Father. The first person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father. So on the first day of Christmas, my true love, God the Father, gave to me, who is me?
Me.
Me, us.
Us.
But specifically?
We.
What is it about you that makes you different from somebody else?
Well, we're all unique, no?
Well,
we're all unique.
We're very diverse people. We're very diverse.
Individuals, right. Well, because Father, I mean... Well, God the Father.
But what makes you different from...
followers of Christ?
What makes you a follower of Christ?
But we're Catholic.
Catholic?
What makes you a Catholic?
Okay.
Well, we only believe in one
letter?
God. We only believe in one God.
Okay, but so do the Anglicans.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Anglicans
sure.
who were persecuting the Christians, the Catholics.
He's got a stump. Uh-huh.
So the me refers to you, me.
Us.
We are starts with a B.
The body,
boy.
Of
body of Christ.
Well, the body of Christ. But what makes us the body of Christ?
The Blessed Mother Virgin. No.
You're going to be angry when I tell you what it is.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't.
Baptism.
Oh, baptism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The baptism, right.
Baptism brings us into the mystical body of Christ.
We are rusty at this.
So my true love, God the Father gave me through baptism, mm-hmm. me, the baptized.
Right.
Okay. He gave me a partridge in a pear tree. Who is the partridge in a pear tree?
Jesus.
And?
The gift.
What about the
tree is the cross, no?
The cross, right. Mm-hmm. The Son of God nailed to the cross.
Right.
A partridge is a pear tree. The partridge in
the pear
tree is Jesus, the Son of God, whose birthday we celebrate December mm-hmm. 25th, the first day of Christmas. In the song, Christ is symbolically presented as a mother partridge.
The partridge.
It's Friday, you know.
It's the pear tree and the partridge.
It's been a long 12 days.
Not mistaking it for
partridge. Partridge. I'm thinking of the Partridge Family.
That's
now.
What I was going to say, too. Father. The Partridge.
Where did they get that name? I don't, anyway.
And then they had a, well, okay, the Partridge, yeah, whatever.
One of them just died.
Right.
Yes.
David Cassidy.
Exactly.
Cassidy. We know this.
Let's not get on,
yeah,
on that page.
Yeah, how come we get
right.
that?
So Christ symbolically presented as a mother partridge. That feigns injury to decoy predators from her helpless nestlings.
Mm-hmm. And that's where they get it for the Partridge Family, because the mom was in charge of everything.
Well, maybe. This recalls the expression of Christ's sadness over the fate of Jerusalem when he said from Scripture, out of this, you know, this passage, Jerusalem, he's coming over the hill. Mm-hmm. If you've been there, you can see that, you know, where all of a sudden you come, every trip I've gone to Jerusalem, there's a point where you ascend this hill, because it's very hilly, and you come over hill, and all of a sudden you see for the first time Jerusalem, the city, the holy city. And when he was walking up to that hill, he comes over the hill, he beholds Jerusalem, and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have sheltered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you would not have it so. Mm-hmm. Into your own condemnation. Wow. This is a powerful and very sad. He wept. I think the scripture says he fell to the ground. Wow. He was so overcome with, so distraught.
And it's so interesting, Father, that it says the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was, his father, well, Joseph was a carpenter. He was a carpenter. When he was placed on the manger, that was made out of wood. Was it?
Well, that one, I don't know. I think...
well, that's how they always display.
I thought it was a porcelain crib, if I think.
I don't know.
No, for sure. I'm just joking. It was a trough.
A trough, and that's
so it was wood. It made out of wood. Yeah, I'm trying
so
to be funny.
Made,
yeah.
Okay, I'm like, okay. So he was born and placed on a wooden trough,
right. Yeah.
And then that's when he was born, and then he dies on the wooden...
Exactly.
Cross. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Father.
Go ahead. You might be overthinking this, but that's okay. But those are good things to think. You know, it's how we tell
exactly.
the story, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the first day. Now, on the second day, Christmas, my true love, God the Father, gave to me the baptized two turtle doves.
And a partridge.
Two turtle doves. What are the two turtle doves?
It's the Bible.
Yep. Old Testament and New Testament.
Exactly, very good. The Old and the New Testament, which together bear witness to God's self-revelation in history and the creation of a people to tell the story of God to the world. So the two turtle doves, the Old and the New Testament. Okay, very good. On the third day of Christmas, my true love, God the Father, gave to me, the baptized, three French hens. What does that signify?
Blessed Trinity.
Hope and charity, or the Trinity?
Exactly. Well, both. It could be both, I would say.
That's what I would
faith,
think.
Hope, and charity.
Faith, hope, and charity.
Mm-hmm.
The three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, from the first letter, Paul to the Corinthians, and the three persons of
God.
The Holy Trinity. Okay? Very good. On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, God the Father gave me, the baptized, four calling birds.
The calling.
Three French hens, two turtles.
The gospel writers.
Mark, Luke, and John.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which proclaim the what?
The good news.
The good news. The good news of what?
Of the gospel.
Of God's.
God's love for us.
And how did he manifest that love? And
through Jesus Christ.
And what did he do? And
he died for
what us. Specific? Okay, he died. And in that.
To redeem us. Oh, he resurrected.
To redeem us, reconcile the world to himself and Jesus, in Christ Jesus. So the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, proclaim the good news of God's reconciliation of the world to himself in Christ. Very good. On the... We'll take a break after... Let's say after the sixth day, we'll take a break. Okay. Nick, is that okay? All right. So on the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
Five golden rings.
And what does that refer to?
The first five books of the Bible, which is the Torah, is the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're going to ask. So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Well, I'm
you
glad.
Do have a
I'm glad you
photogenic.
Did. I did not know.
Not photogenic, but what's a photogenic?
Photographic
memory. Right. Exactly. So first, the four golden rings.
Five golden rings.
refer to the five books of the Old Testament known as the Torah. Or the Pentateuch.
Pentateuch,
in Greek and Torah in Hebrew.
The law.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which gives a history of humanity's sinful failure and God's response of grace in the creation of a people to be a light to the world. Very good. I wonder how people out in Radio Land are doing. I'm sure they're doing very, very well.
Of course, because they listen.
Right.
Yeah.
So the sixth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
It's the creation.
No, what did it give?
Six.
The six geese are laying.
What are they laying?
They're laying an egg.
Right. That's right.
That's the story of creation.
Yes. It's what?
The story of creation. How long did the God?
Oh, right, the 6 days. Yes.
6 days. The seventh day he rested, so it was 6 days for the creation.
Exactly.
Laying an egg?
The 6 days of creation, it confesses God as creator and sustainer of the world. So what did he create on the first, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth day?
The first, what was it?
First,
I don't,
was
yeah,
the
I'm
dome,
not working
the
answer.
Dome in the sky. I read this.
Yeah. The, the birds.
Teeming with. All kinds of.
Well, that's a little higher. So just think about that. We're going to take a break. Okay. We may not even answer that question, but it is the 6 days of creation that confess God as creator and sustainer of the world.
Yeah, sure.
See, all the catechism teachers need is
the
song.
The song. I was thinking about giving it to the little kids.
So it's Christmas the whole year.
I might even do that on the Epiphany. That would be nice. Have we ever done this at Mass?
No.
I don't think so.
That would be
that
really
would be
fun,
very
you know?
Nice. Because you'd have all the kids there, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Uh-huh.
Then you'd save me from doing it because that's what I wanted to do.
You know what? Thank you. They just gave me an idea. So that would be fun.
Even the adults. Let's see how much. <That's>
the adults would be
absolutely, yeah. All right, everybody. Nick wants us to take a break, and so we're going to be obedient. We're already a little bit late. So we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. This is Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We are honored to have Bishop Joseph Perry guest host Winds of Change this Thursday, February 1st at noon on AM 750 WNDC.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Do you have loved ones who are away from the church? Do you feel helpless, anxious, or concerned because people you love no longer consider themselves Catholic? My name is Sister Teresa Alethea Noble. I am a religious sister with the Daughters of St. Paul, but I am also a former atheist. I was raised Catholic but rejected my faith for over 10 years. Evangelizing our friends and family is the most difficult kind of evangelization, but it is possible. I have written a book called The Prodigal You Love, Inviting Loved Ones Back to the Church, to help you invite your loved ones back to the church. You can find more information about this book at pauline.org/prodigalyoulove. Together, let's start an evangelization revolution.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we do our little catechesis, our yearly catechesis, on the nearly as we coming to the end of the Christmas season. So the 12 days of Christmas, at least the Epiphany on Sunday. In fact, what day are we in? We're in ten. 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, you're right, Father.
Day 10. So, but right now we're on day 7. And Christina, stop showing off. So let people have a little chance to think response is. She's always doing that, doesn't she?
She does that. I'm glad she's here.
The teachers always called me Smarty Pants.
I believe I can see why.
Smart aleck, but.
So on the 7th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me.
This one's easy.
Seven swans are swimming.
And what does that refer to?
The seven sacraments. Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Yeah.
Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit.
So what are the seven sacraments?
Baptism.
In order.
Baptism, right?
Yes,
baptism.
Yes.
Baptism.
Reconciliation.
Yes. Confession.
Confession. A communion.
Eucharist, yes.
Eucharist. Confirmation.
Confirmation.
It could be marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Holy orders.
Priesthood.
Mm-hmm. And the anointing of the sick.
Priesthood and diaconate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anointing of the sick is the last one.
Exactly.
Because you're good on the spot. I don't think I could remember those.
Well, that's good. Confirmation can come at baptism.
It used to be. Yeah.
It's in some cultures, it still is. Yeah. But baptism, Holy Eucharist, penance, reconciliation, that's confirmation, marriage, holy orders, anointing of the sick. Okay, now, can you name the... Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Not in order.
Did my part, now it's
there's no order. I don't think there's... there might be a biblical order.
I'm giving
order,
Tony a
thank you, I knew you were going to do
I'll give you the first letter. I'll give you the first letter.
Hangman, right?
Oh, yeah, just... I'll mark them as you tell me. So start talking. Start.
Seven gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, right.
I always get confused with the other...
Okay. Feed the...
The fruits, the hungry, fruits and the gifts.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, those are the acts of mercy.
Okay.
So I get mixed up. With
instruct the ignorant.
Those are the...
No, you're talking about the
gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Those are the acts of mercy. Is there anything like fortitude?
One, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Temperance,
yeah.
No.
No? Oh, no? Where did I get that?
those are the cardinal virtues.
Okay. See, I get confused.
There are four cardinal virtues, but let's stick with the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. I said it's a gift of the fruit. You know, this I always get confused with that
too. That's what I'm saying.
But let's say, go ahead. Fortitude is one.
Fortitude, piety?
What?
No.
Piety, yes.
Piety?
There you go.
See?
Piety, patience? No. Just throwing out. I get confused.
But that probably may be the fruit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See that.
Keep going.
Courage? No? Courage?
That's fortitude is strength, right? It starts with a P. Prudence.
That's one of the cardinal virtues.
Oh, okay, I see. I can. I can't.
Well, fortitude is a cardinal virtue as well. So.
Keep
going. So you have fortitude, piety. You only did two.
Okay, now it's your turn, Tony.
Starts with a W. Should be very easy.
Wisdom.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the other one starts with a U.
I was going to say humility.
And there's a D, and there's an S, and a T, and another D.
Understanding.
There you go.
Understanding.
I was going to say uterus. For some reason, I don't know why.
Tony. Okay, the other one starts with a K.
K. Knowledge.
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 C.
Charity? No.
No.
Courage.
Charity would be
courage?
The...
Courage?
Courage must be the fruit.
Okay.
Charism? No. that prayer isn't.
Courage.
When your head is all screwed up, where do you go? You want to see a
doctor?
Well, a doctor, but or you go to confession. You sometimes you seek not only absolution, but you're hoping a little bit of cure. Yeah, but that's not it. You want
clarity?
Clarity. Yes, you can see all those things, but that's not the right answer.
Seek.
There's a C. We'll play Hangman here. There's an N. An S.
Conscience.
No.
No.
An L.
What?
Clarence? No. Child? No.
We only have 15 minutes.
I
think. It's very simple. You're going to be angry with yourself. I gave you a C, an N, an S, and an L. I know somebody out there is shouting it out.
Clemens?
Charity. No.
No. There's a U.
U. Where's Oscar? Oscar knows this stuff.
E. O.
Curiosity.
No. I've given you all the letters. Council.
Council.
Oh, council, yeah. See, I don't know it.
Council.
So you're not as smart as you think you are, Christina.
No, I get them all confused. Yes.
Gave you all the letters.
They okay, all sound
so,
good.
So there's one more. So we got wisdom, understanding, counsel, right? Fortitude, mm-hmm. knowledge, piety.
Understand. Oh no, you already said,
you said understanding.
There's another one. This is one. This one
knowledge
has.
You already said.
This starts with an F. It's a nice word.
Not fortitude.
No, you've already said fortitude.
Four.
Fear.
Fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord.
Yes. Now it all.
So now, but if you take it, you know, there's also the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, as understood by these might be the fruits of the Spirit, mm-hmm. but patience. I see, because the cardinal virtues are temperance, prudence, fortitude, and what is it?
Prudence? No.
I say them all the time. Fortitude, prudence, temperance. Prudence, fortitude.
I can't remember.
I have to come back to that.
I get confused with them.
I always know that because these are the things they really look for in a saint. And when they're in the process of scrutinizing the life of a person, they look for these four. Really, these four cardinal virtues.
It's four.
There's four: temperance, prudence, fortitude, and justice.
Justice.
That's it.
Wow.
Okay, so the other, if you talk about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, it depends on what letter of St. Paul you're listening to, because there's also a prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and compassion.
Right. Okay. Those I wouldn't know.
it's awesome.
Okay, so let's move from the seventh day to the eighth day, of Christmas.
My true love, eight maids are milking.
Does
this also the Beatitudes?
Now, if these are
Beatitudes, yes.
These are the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes. So name the eight Beatitudes. Oh,
okay. Blessed are the meek.
That's one.
Humble. The poor in spirit. Blessed are the...
I didn't think this was going to be on the test.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Blessed are the... Lowly?
No. Peacemaker? We said that.
Peacemaker, the meek, the poor in spirit.
The humble, the lowly.
Those who blank and blank for righteousness.
Blank and blank.
For
What happens when you haven't eaten all day, you are
hungry. Oh, the hungry.
And when you haven't drinking all day, you've...
thirsty.
I'm the trying
thirsty.
To help you, so there you go.
No,
so.
I'm just thinking of that one.
Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
For righteousness.
Yeah. Those who... did you say merciful?
No.
Merciful.
I think you were thinking it because I felt that.
Yeah.
What about... there's another one.
The compassion? No, that's the merciful.
No. The... When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus...
Those who weep?
He wept, but he wept because he was doing what? He was... And the people there were all weeping because they were what? Starts with an M.
Mourning. Those who mourn.
Those who mourn, right. And then and there's one more. Two more. The... Something about the heart. Blessed are the...
The love...
Merciful? People with heart.
Those who are the, not compassionate.
The heart. Let me explain this. People who are genuine. There's no duplicity in them.
Oh, pure of heart.
Pure of heart.
Pure of heart.
Pure of heart.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the final one is those who are, Jesus said this how many times, you know, I cannot promise you it's going to be easy. I don't promise you it's going to be easy. In fact, I tell you it's going to be a difficult road. It's a narrow path.
Faithful? No.
You will be hated as I was hated.
Inherit the key,
it starts with a P. And there's a S and a T.
Patience.
And a C, not in those orders.
Patience, no.
And an R.
I'd hate to have this be one of those game shows where we're going to...
It's kind of fun for me because I hate the answers.
But you have the answer.
Right.
You said it. Didn't you just say it?
You did.
Peacemaker?
No.
Prudence? Patience?
No. I say you're going to be hated. You're going to be...
Persecuted.
Persecuted. So, very good. The eight Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The merciful, the pure in heart. Peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Okay. The ninth day of Christmas, my true love, God the Father, gave to me the baptized.
Nine ladies dancing.
Okay. And what does that refer to? Oh, here we go.
Those are the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit.
There we go,
yeah. See, I knew those were there somewhere.
Okay, so what are they? There's nine of them.
Oh, gosh.
Just be easy.
Nine fruits of...
Don't give us any hints this time.
No, we're not going
to. I'm going to have to.
No, you're just going to
Because we only have 10 minutes.
Okay.
There's nine?
There's nine. L.
Love?
Yes. J.
Joy?
Joy.
Joy.
P.
Peace.
Peace. P.
Patience?
Yes. K.
Kindness.
Kindness. Uh-huh.
G.
Generous.
Generosity.
Exactly. F.
Faithful.
Faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
G again.
G again?
Mm-hmm.
good. Well, that sounds bad.
No.
G again.
grateful? No.
No, think of the way I speak to people.
Gracious.
Oh, with grace?
Goodness.
Goodness?
Well, of course, all those, yes, of course. But
generosity.
I don't want to be harsh.
You want to be gentle.
Gentle. That's right. He does be gentle.
Yes, right,
gentle. Be gentle.
And then the other one...
You're humble? No.
It's two words, really. S and C. The fruits of the Spirit. S and C. So the first word is S, and there's an L. The second word, there's a C and a T.
Self.
Self-denial? No.
C, T. Self-control.
It is self-control?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
he was laughing at me.
So the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy. Now, this is an easy one here. The 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me...
10 lords are leaping.
Ten lords are leaping, which refer to what?
Ten commandments.
Exactly. What are the 10 commandments?
I am the Lord your God. You shall have not strange gods before me.
Okay. Number one.
That's number
one. Do not take my name in vain.
That's the third one.
No.
Oh, yeah. Keep holy the Sabbath day is the second.
The second.
Well, you know, it depends on where you take them from. Because there's 10 commandments taken from, there's actually two versions. This one's from the book of Exodus. You shall not have other gods before me.
That's the first.
Number two. Do not make an idol. Do not worship
other gods.
It's kind of similar.
Three is keep holy the Sabbath.
Do not take God's name in vain. These are, you know, I have to really go back. This is so the fourth. This is from the book of Exodus.
Okay,
but these don't seem to be the ones. I mean, these are commandments.
Right.
Okay.
But then there's also another version, but they're and it's all similar, but they're different, numbered in a little bit different way. So you shall not have other gods before me. Do not make an idol. Do not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath, to keep holy the Sabbath. This is easy.
Honor your mother and father.
Honor your mother and father.
Thou shalt not, thou shalt not kill.
Exactly.
Thou shalt not lie.
Nope.
No.
Kill. Sixes.
Do not
steal.
No, no.
Think of the woman who was going to be stoned. Yes.
Adultery.
Do not commit adultery.
Yeah.
Next one.
Seven.
Steal.
Do not steal.
And then eight is do not bear false witness
against
your neighbor. And then wife.
Do not cope your...
Do not covet.
Covet.
Covet thy neighbors.
Do not covet. So, okay.
Covet your neighbors.
So the Ten Commandments. The ten lords are leaping. Mm-hmm. You shall not have other gods before me. Do not make an idol. Do not take. So what is the? So these are. I'm trying to think now. What the other? I know you shall not. Do not. You have but one God. Have no other gods before me.
Mm-hmm.
Do not take God's name in vain. Mm-hmm. Keep holy the Sabbath. Those are the first three.
Yeah.
Then the other.
Honor
your father and mother. Do not kill.
Mm-hmm.
Do not commit adultery. Do not steal.
Do not
bear false witness. Do not covet your neighbor's goods.
And wife.
And there's that might be the
neighbor's goods.
Might be anyway. I think that might be two.
Right.
Do not covet your neighbor's wife, and do not covet your
neighbor's
goods.
Okay. And that's it. That's all right. Ten.
Okay. All right. So we got to 10 days now, and that was today. That's today. That's the 10th day of Christmas. We're right now on the 10th day of Christmas. On the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, God the Father gave me, the baptized, what?
11 pipers piping.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what does that refer to?
11 disciples.
Yeah, the faithful disciples.
The faithful disciples. And can you name the faithful disciples?
Oh, man. I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, you could say, Peter.
Peter.
All right. Simon Peter.
Simon Peter, John.
Okay.
John, Andrew.
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 Philip.
Yes. In fact, we read about Philip today in the gospel.
Philip. Bartholomew.
Mm-hmm.
James.
Yes.
Paul came late.
Paul's not an apostle. Well, he was. Yes, he came later.
And Luke
yes.
came later, too, no?
He's not an apostle, technically speaking.
Mark.
No, you're thinking
Matthew,
of the gospel.
No, Matthew. Matthew was one of them.
You're back in the gospels. Yeah, Matthew, yes.
Was
Matthew,
one
yes.
Of them.
Okay, of course.
Thomas. The doubting Thomas.
Uh-huh, okay.
Did I say Philip already?
I think you did say Philip.
Andrew,
you said.
Judas, there was another.
There was Judas, Judas Barjonas.
Not Judas Iscariot, but.
The other one.
The good one.
Judas Bar James, or
uh-huh.
Yes.
So how many are left?
There's two.
Two more?
Two. There's another James.
Okay, James.
James the greater, James the lesser.
Okay.
And then there's another.
Wait, John?
No.
No, not John.
Peter, but Peter was what?
Right.
Peter was, before he was Peter,
Simon
he was what?
Peter.
Simon. He was Simon Peter, so the other gospel is Simon.
Oh, yeah. Simon.
The Zealot.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
Okay, so we got to move along because we're just about out of time.
and
he doesn't include, of course, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus.
Yeah.
All right, so the 12th day of Christmas, we got to do this pretty fast, refers to?
The drummers.
12 drummers, drummers.
Yeah. 12
drummers.
Yeah.
And that refers to what?
The 12 petitions
in the creed.
In the creed, okay. And what are they?
The 12 points in the creed.
What are they? What do we believe?
Believe in one God.
Believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That's one.
And Jesus Christ.
His only Son, our
Believe
Lord.
In Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Conceived by the Holy Spirit. Born of the Virgin Mary.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Uh-huh.
He's crucified. Died and was buried.
On the third day.
And then he resurrected.
Well, the fourth is he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
Right.
And that was number four. Number five.
Oh, that was just number.
Oh,
that was. I know that was all
oh
four.
Oh my gosh.
So five is, and on the third day
he rose
again.
From the dead.
He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay. Number six.
He will come to judge the living and the dead.
Okay. Number seven.
We believe in the Holy Spirit.
Number eight.
Old Catholic Church.
Number nine.
Communion of saints.
Number ten.
Forgiveness of sins.
Number 11.
And the resurrection of the body.
And number 12.
Life everlasting. Amen.
Bravissimo. That's great. That was fun. All right, so everybody should know your your catechesis now. These are the basics of the faith.
There will be a test on Sunday.
There will be a test on Sunday. There will be a test on Sunday. You gave me a good idea.
Yep.
All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Ciao.